serial entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome to Startups Magazine's podcast series, The Serial Entrepreneur. I am the editor and your host for today, Anna Flockett, and I hope you're all doing well. Today, I'm really excited to bring you our guest, Papyrus Philippeos, MD at Digital Beans, a digital agency who has, in these uncertain times, created a new startup company to help local businesses, your local dot delivery, which is a new free online store service that's helping these local businesses sell their goods and hopefully survive in these weird times. Pip, first of all, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on. How are you today?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having me.
I thought maybe to start with today, we could just explain to our listeners a little bit about, first of all, what Digital Beans do. Tell us a bit about yourself and maybe explain a bit then about your local dot delivery.
Yeah, sure. So Digital Beans, I founded Digital Beans about 10 years ago, which was as I was graduating from university. So at the time, it was obviously previous kind of uncertainty or economic uncertainty that we've all been through. And Digital Beans was founded at that time as a direct result of me not being able to get a job in those times and sort of stumbling into working for small businesses, offering them digital marketing services. Fast forward 10 years on, so we're based just outside of Canterbury and we've worked with and work with all sorts of clients up and down the country and a couple internationally, helping them with their digital marketing, digital strategy and WordPress and WooCommerce web builds. So we've got a fair bit of experience helping and launching e-commerce companies. And in addition to that, my wife and I also set up a brand of hair extensions, a brand called Simply Hair. It's obviously all e-commerce and all based on WooCommerce. So we've got that as well. So I've got the kind of experience of working with clients, but I've also got the other side of working within an e-commerce and actually starting an e-commerce. As a direct result of COVID and everything that was kind of happening around us, I'm not sure whose idea it was exactly, but in the team, it very quickly became apparent that our skills are going to be needed and were needed by local small businesses. So we thought the best way to help them is to allow them to get online and start selling online for free. So using our experience of setting up e-commerce sites and getting them out there, we launched Your Local Dot Delivery, which is essentially a platform based on WooCommerce and WordPress, therefore, to get our favorite, our little stores locally to us online and start accepting payments and start offering collection and deliveries as soon as possible. So the idea was that we wanted to help not just the kind of restaurants and the food industry, but actually any small independent business that either doesn't have a website because they've never needed one, or ones with a website but no ability to take e-commerce. So that's what we've done. We've created a kind of system to allow us to get them online as quickly as possible and then give them full control of that site. We're slowly adding videos to our site and adding tutorials as to how they can manage it themselves so that they can, you know, add more products and add images and do all sorts of kind of stuff like that. So yeah, so that's Your Local Delivery. It's all free. We don't charge for our time. We don't charge for the site. We don't charge for the hosting. So it's literally just a tool to help during these times.
Oh, wow, that's great. And what sort of companies, I know you explained a little bit, it's not just like food and restaurants, but what sort of companies have been using the services? What sort of businesses have been logging on? Do you have any examples that you can talk about?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think due to everything we've done so far, and we've had a lot of support, thankfully, by local organisations. So, for example, in Kent, we've got a trade organisation called Produced in Kent, which does amazing work for local producers and companies selling local kind of food and drink. So we've had a lot of good partnerships and support from these sort of organizations. So biggest uptake has been from the food and drink industry. However, we are encouraging other industries to jump on there as well. So the kind of stuff we have on there is anything from pie manufacturers to beers.
Have you got any pubs on there that obviously had to shut because people aren't allowed in, and then maybe they have like a restaurant in the pub, and then the food that they would be making, they can then deliver to people? Or
so we haven't had any pubs as of yet. We have spoken to a few pubs. They are in talks and thinking about setting up. I think the problem pubs, again, I've only got a very short amount of experience in this, but I think a problem that the pubs are facing is the decision as to whether or not to keep the kitchen staff to just therefore offer deliveries, which, you know, would be quite costly if they can't get enough of them in, because some of these pubs are obviously quite big and have quite a few tables on a normal evening and a normal serving. So they're struggling with that decision. But the discussions I've had with a couple of pubs so far has been them offering, essentially becoming a mini supermarket and offering fresh produce and that kind of stuff, because obviously they've got the suppliers, they're able to buy in bulk, you know, a lot of them can get and use really good ingredients. So that's what they're toying with, and offering delivery or collection services for essentially just the fresh produce. So that's, I know, what a few of them have been thinking. It's really interesting having these conversations with the different types of shops and these different sort of retailers and how they're adapting. So for example, one of our favorite farm shops around here has essentially turned their, what would otherwise be their parking for the farm shop, and they've got a little calf. They've turned that into his, what I can only describe as a McDonald's drive-through. So you call up, place your order, and then essentially you just drive through and you just get it and put it in your car, and then you just carry on. You sort of don't really stop or park. So it's really interesting to see how companies are adapting during these times.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, how needed is this right now? Like, obviously we can read the news, but I feel like maybe you working with these companies can see more insight and see it firsthand. Like, how bad is the kind of the hospitality and the food and drink industry right now? Because obviously everywhere is shut.
The best ones to comment on that or people within that industry itself. But from a consumer, but also someone that's been in digital, seeing them, watching them, and kind of, I can feel that there's a change in the air, both as a consumer, but also from a digital point of view, that there's going to be a lot of things that are going to change once COVID is a distant memory. You know, things like, you know, anecdotally, and I was having this conversation recently with people, there's going to be a whole new generation of kids that are going to be learning to cough and sneeze into the elbows, right? So gone are the days of saying, oh, you know, sneeze into your hands or cough, you know, cover your mouth with your hand. So apart from those kind of things, I think as consumers, but also as digital consumers, I don't think once COVID is over, we're going to accept and go back to not having our local shops and the independents that maybe on the high street, or, you know, are like, for example, like farm shop, where you don't even expect it to be online. I think that kind of stuff is going to change. And I think as consumers, post-COVID, you know, all the restaurants offering delivery now and collection and things like that, I don't think as consumers we're going to accept that they're going to take that service away from us, right? Because ultimately it is a luxury during, you know, kind of established during these weird times. But we're not going to accept it, that we're going to lose that. You know, I do want to stay in and have my favorite food delivered, or go and pick it up from the pub that previously didn't do that. So that goes for digital as well. So, you know, on your local delivery, we've also got, you know, just corner shops, right? So corner shops, I don't even think many of them even had websites before. You know, what was the point? A Google Maps listing was probably as much as was needed for a corner shop. But actually being able to go on there and do a click and collect is actually a huge time saver. And all the big brands have it. Argos is you know, how I always shop with Argos is a click and collect. So I don't want to go into a corner shop and browse around. You know, it's not time well spent, and I'd rather just go there, say hello and pick up my goods and just leave. I think it's going to change a lot of behaviors, and I think it's going to push more and more people onto digital. You know, we live in a little village called Wingham, which a big part of the population is elderly. And, you know, when I'm speaking to them, they're all online, you know, or someone that can help them is helping them place the orders and stuff like that. So, you know, it's also a massive benefit for the community and people that are vulnerable and people that can't get out and people that can't drive with or without COVID around. The value of an old lady being able to go and just pick up her shopping or have it delivered from the corner shop is massive. So I think this is going to kind of change a lot of habits and behaviours for a lot of us.
Definitely. And I think you saying that a lot of your population near where you live being old, and they're all willing to be online and, you know, go and collect and use this service. We underestimate like how many people can't go online and can't use the internet or can't use a website. Everyone basically is now capable, no matter the age and what age you are. So like you say, the shift is changing, the landscape is changing, it's going to become even more digital after COVID is kind of gone. And thinking about that, how has it been for the kind of small companies, the local farm shops or the corner shops that you said kind of didn't even have a website before? Has it been difficult for them to kind of adjust and adapt to this new digital method of selling?
Yes, I mean, from our experience so far, we're really trying to, and a big passion of mine, even pre-COVID, it has been to empower small businesses and to get them to use digital and compete from a digital point of view as best as possible with the big guys. You know, why should Argos be able to do click and collect, but then all the little shops not be able to do that? So I've always wanted to empower more and more small businesses, but going through this, and the reason we wanted to offer your local delivery is because there are other e-commerce platforms out there, but they either have obviously cost attached to them, which during these times isn't ideal, but you know, obviously everyone's a business. But the big issue here is that companies that aren't online, and by that I mean aren't selling online, one of the biggest hurdles is getting their catalog, their product catalog on there. Because, you know, for example, talking about a corner shop, now they, my understanding and the way I've worked with them so far is that they don't have that catalog in anything more than an Excel, and they don't need to store things like product images. They don't need to store, you know, it's just enough for them to place their orders with their suppliers or go to bookers or whatever. So being able to turn that into what as an e-commerce platform would expect, you know, whether you're talking about WooCommerce or Shopify, is very, very different, and getting them to transition. And that's actually where we're trying to develop custom plugins and really make your local dot delivery really bespoke, is minimizing that gap. These shops aren't going to become full-blown e-commerce companies, right? We're not looking, and they're not looking to become a digital-only kind of business. So it's about having that synergy between the digital and the shop. How do we make that so that isn't overly time consuming, and how do we really simplify it? Because, you know, the terminology between retail, very traditional brick and mortar type retail, and e-commerce, you know, it's very different. You know, talking about variable products is very what we talk about probably every week, talking to clients that are e-commerce clients. But in retail, they in brick and mortar stores, they don't know what I'm talking about. So it's about trying to become an e-commerce, offer them an e-commerce solution that doesn't feel like an e-commerce solution, because it's an e-commerce solution isn't for them. It's too far. It's almost like a whole new business. And we're trying to make a hybrid and just be an extension to what they're already doing. We don't want them to feel like they've somehow ventured into this whole new thing and a whole new, they have to learn new terminology and they have to have a set up the whole inventory in a whole new different way. That's where we're putting a lot of time in to allow us to scale and help more people and actually allow them to spend less time on managing this stuff and just working, you know, in and on their business.
Definitely. And so taking it back maybe a step, how does it work for both businesses and for the consumer? Do businesses approach you? Do you approach businesses? Is it a bit of both? And then do you kind of create a profile for them or create a section on the website? How does it work?
So for businesses, you know, so far, because your local dot delivery is literally there to help, it's been pushed around through word of mouth. A few organizations and local authorities have wished to promote it to their members and to local residents and businesses. So we haven't had a problem with new businesses joining up. And although we did it to help our local community, and really the selfish bit was to allow us personally to keep buying the goods and services that we wanted from the local shops that we personally like, I think the furthest store we now have is in Warwickshire. So, you know, we're definitely now out of Kent. So, you know, we're being found through word of mouth and through these sort of partnerships by the businesses. In terms of what they get, so yeah, they're going to the website, they go through an application process, which we're constantly trying to improve and refine. Essentially, they need to upload some of their products and their catalog, and then give us their branding information and a logo. And we at the moment, we've tried to make that as simple as possible, and we gather enough information to allow us to build them a functioning store. Then they get their own details. So they get their own URL. So they'll get yourlocal.delivery/shop name, and they also get a login to that, so they can see their orders, they can manage their products, they can add pictures to their products, they can manage everything through their terms and conditions and all of that kind of stuff. So the setup is that those shops will then promote that URL, their unique yourlocal.delivery URL, so that their existing customers can still shop with them during these times. From a consumer point of view, this is something we've had a lot of feedback on. At the moment, we don't have a portal for consumers to go on and find stores that are on our platform. It's feedback we're kind of almost getting back, I would say nearly weekly, that people want that, businesses want that. So to have an approach where, you know, a consumer can go on there and say, right, show me who's on here near me, or being able to pick perhaps an industry, or, you know, whether it's drink or alcohol or sweets or toys or dog treats and dog food or whatever, and it will show you who you can buy that kind of stuff from. So that's something that's in the pipeline. It's on our to-do list. At this stage, we unfortunately don't have it.
No. Of course. Well, you've only been going, like you said, is it a month or so?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's been, I think it's about end of March. Yeah.
You've done so much in a short space of time. People can't moan.
And of course, for us, you know, the big priority is getting these businesses on there, you know, and supporting them. So, you know, yes, we've got a lot of ideas, but we're also trying to manage this in between our kind of day jobs of running and looking after our clients in Digital Beans. So, yeah, but of course, our main priority is getting the businesses online. And then, yes, we want to get more customers to them. We want to offer more for consumers to find, explore more shops near them. But yeah, for now, it's about just getting those businesses on there and helping them start making some more money.
Of course. And I feel like you've probably touched on this slightly, but I'm going to ask you anyways, in case you have anything to add. What different challenges have you faced whilst founding your local Dr. Livery?
I think the biggest challenge is that it was the gap I mentioned earlier, gap between taking a brick and mortar type business online and the fact that, you know, it was never in their business plan and probably isn't in their business plan for them to become an e-commerce, you know, in its more kind of traditional sense. So getting them to understand that and getting them to, you know, see what they need to do that was perhaps a bigger jump than I realized, which is why we want to put some more work into really simplifying that down. But I spoke to someone that didn't even know what Excel is. You know, they don't even use Excel to manage their stock. So going from that to, you know, suddenly having to digitize your catalog or part of your product catalog and putting it online, that's a big ask for some people. That's definitely been a challenge, because the platform, and whilst we're speaking right now, relies on them uploading a spreadsheet, you know, a CSV of some of their products for us to be able to work with. So, you know, obviously we haven't spoken to thousands of businesses, but as a percentage, you know, it is still a significant percentage of businesses that aren't using anything to keep or manage their products on. So that is a challenge that we need to work through. And also a shock. I didn't expect that. I thought everyone would be using Excel or something to keep their products on, but apparently not.
No, I'm quite surprised at that too, to be fair. So I was just going to say, obviously you guys have been doing a lot of work with your local Dr. Livery, and obviously it's been created in the COVID space to help, and it's an amazing startup idea. Have you done any other work with Digital Beans or with any other clients around the whole COVID-19 climate and coronavirus?
Our main time and effort has been to start and support your local delivery. Within Digital Beans, we work with a handful of clients within different industries. So some industries have been affected more than others, naturally, and we've been working with them kind of individually to work out, you know, what their plan is and whether we're scaling up or scaling down during these times. So it has been a very bespoke setup, but nothing kind of that I can kind of comment on in terms of, you know, similar to your local delivery.
Yeah, of course. And as a company yourself, you know, your local delivery, the team that set it up, and Digital Beans, how have you found it having to adapt and change to this kind of weird new setup that everyone's having to adapt to?
Yeah, it's quite frustrating. So my wife's company, Simply Hair, and Digital Beans has always been housed together. So, you know, it just made sense. It's always made sense from a financial point of view, a commuting point of view, to just have the businesses together. And it was in February that we actually took over the unit next door to where we are, because those guys moved out. So we doubled our space. We invested quite a bit of money in making the place look really good, connected the units, put doors through, you know, actually made a significant investment to, you know, a nice, cool, modern office. And that work all finished on the day that I had to tell everyone to start working from home. So frustratingly for us, we've now got, you know, twice the cost in terms of office space than we did before. And we've got to just pretty much just paid now all the work that has been done. And unfortunately, there's no one there to appreciate it and enjoy the space and the nice new environment we've created. So that's really frustrating. But But in terms of, you know, working from home and all that kind of stuff, yeah, I mean, the team have adapted really well. You know, honestly, I'm kind of super proud of how everyone has been able to adapt, and that productivity has been really good, and everyone has been pulling their weight to help Digital Beans get through it and to try and get through this as strong as possible. You know, I think different members of the team on different days are slowly losing their sanity, including myself, where my wife and I also juggling 2 and a 3-year-old in between trying to do some work as well. So yeah, our sanity is slowly going. But in terms of a team and being productive, it's everyone is doing really well.
Oh, good. It's nice to hear when people kind of like are pulling together, and even though everyone's so separate, I feel like it's bringing people together as a team. And just a little side question, obviously this is more towards the Digital Beans side, but how has the pandemic kind of affected the digital industry as a whole? Have you seen any, you know, massive changes? Is there, obviously everyone's working from home and everyone's having to take their business virtual, so is there a massive spike in the whole like digital side? And
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. So from our end, you know, going into this, we didn't know what to expect, because obviously we haven't been through something like this before as a company or as individuals. You know, marketing budgets are always an interesting one, because during a recession or during a time of uncertainty, it's an easy budget to cut. Right. So if there's less money around and more uncertainty, then the kind of natural thing is to cut marketing budgets, which is where Digital Beans sit. But equally, that's a great time to also expand, right? So if there's more businesses going under and there's still the demand there for your products, then it's also a great time to be able to leverage that, providing you're in the position to be able to leverage that. So you're offering delivery or you can deliver your goods and services through other forms or digitally. So I was quite uncertain. I wasn't sure what would happen. So we have had clients that we've naturally had to really scale back things for. So, you know, companies that we work for, certainly within the construction sector, have naturally seen a big hit when they haven't got their teams on site. So, you know, some industries are more impacted than others. Whereas on the other hand, we've got other work that has come out directly due to COVID. So, you know, either people looking to scale up because it's created an opportunity for them. But the bigger thing we're sort of seeing is that a lot of businesses have scaled down in terms of, you know, they are less busy than perhaps before. But the beauty in that, and providing that the businesses are in a strong position leading, you know, up until now, the fact that we're all dealing with less customers is actually also an opportunity, because it means that, you know, we can spend less time on the customer service and all of that time, all of that kind of time consuming stuff. And if the business is in a strong position, well, now's a good time to invest in the business, you know, build a new site, invest in, you know, developing something bespoke that you've always been, you know, thinking about. So leveraging the fact that, okay, fine, there's less money going through the tills or digital tills, but actually we've got more time. We're just not as strained on the customer service side or project delivery side. And you can actually invest time and money in your own business is something that we're seeing quite a bit of. So we've got a handful of projects where that's exactly how they've come about. So it's an interesting one. Like I said, I think bigger picture digital, I think there's going to be a lot more businesses jumping online after this and just during this process as well.
Yeah, of course, definitely. And that takes me on nicely to our next question. What do you guys have planned for the future in terms of your local dot delivery? Will it continue after the COVID-19 crisis?
Yeah, so that's a question we keep getting asked. So obviously at the moment, you know, we're putting our time in. Obviously, we're picking up the costs to run the site and whatnot. So the project was always set up to run during COVID for however long that takes. That's still our commitment. So, you know, providing that Digital Beans is still going, which, you know, there's no signs that it won't be, and we can continue to afford to run it, then that's what we're going to do. We have applied for some different grants to help us through this. It will also help us invest in some of the functionality that we desperately want, so we can bring in some outside resources to help us deliver some of those things as well. So yeah, we're very much committed to it. We're very much looking to keep running it post-COVID. I mean, yes, we'd love to run something like your local delivery beyond COVID, but you know, I don't even know how far out we're talking about when we're saying post COVID. So for now, we're just trying to improve the platform, help more and more businesses, and then we can kind of see where that journey takes us.
Definitely. Well, it's such an amazing idea, and obviously the fact that you've been able to kind of create this business and help so many other businesses in this time is just incredible. So thank you very much for chatting with me today. It's been a pleasure to learn about it.
So thank you. Thanks for your time.
Serial Entrepreneur.